Welcome to the Exec MBA Podcast. I'm your host, Brett Twitty, and you are listening to a new episode. On this episode of the podcast, I'm excited to share my recent conversation with Ashley Robinson. Ashley is an assistant director here at the Darden School of Business and the newest member of our professional degree program's admissions team. We recently caught up with Ashley to talk more about her background, what led her to Darden, and of course, we get into her story and some of her passions and interests, and we even take time to talk a little NBA basketball. I think you're really going to enjoy this conversation. So without further ado, here is my interview with Ashley Robinson. Ashley Robinson, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
I know. It's great to have you here. I mean, you've been at Darden for like 7 months and your podcast host was like really slow to get you on the show. So sorry about that.
I wonder what's up with that.
I got to talk to our producer. I'm going to talk to our producer. Well, it's great to have you here and it's great for our listeners to learn more about you. So tell us, first of all, how are you doing? It's a Friday. It's rainy. It's wet. It's cold in the Washington, D.C. metro. It's got to go up from here.
It has to. It was 75 degrees, I know, just 2 days ago. And now I've been getting alerts with freezing rain, sleet, snow flurries. It's cold. It's gloomy. So I don't know what season we're in, but I'm holding on. I'm waiting on the spring to officially arrive. Other than that, I am doing well.
All right. It's almost the weekend. So hopefully, and you know, this just means we have to find something that we want to stream. That's the solution here.
It's raining. I have a list.
Okay.
I'm ready.
All right. Well, for our listeners who are eager to learn more about you, tell us a little bit more about who you are and your role.
Yes. So my name is Ashley Robinson. I am the Assistant Director of Admissions here at Darden School of Business, and I work with the professional degree programs. So that includes our executive MBA format, as well as our new part-time MBA format. So I'm very excited to be here. As you said, 7 months in, still learning the ropes, but yet it seems like it's been longer. But I've had a lot of fun growing since I've joined Darden.
Well, some of our prospective students have had a chance to talk to you on the phone, to see you on events. You recently, most recently seen hosting Women of Color panel discussion with several of our alumni. Tell us a little bit more about that event.
Oh, that event was amazing. So that was the first event that I've moderated with Darden, but the discussion was wonderful. We had a great group of women who have come through the program and done successful things. I think it was an important conversation to have as we're trying to talk about some of the struggles with women of color in career and pursuing MBA specifically. So I think they brought a great perspective from their end. The resources that they had versus what some others may not have and what we could be struggling with as women of color. So it was a wonderful conversation. I think more conversations should be had like that. So I'm glad we took that step and put it out there for everybody.
Yes, the tech support for that session. I really just enjoyed the authenticity and the energy of the panelists. Yeah. I thought they were so very real and so insightful about their comments and willingness to share their experience and speak candidly. It was a great session. And we are recording this on a Friday morning, but you also have a chat like imminently within the hour.
Yes.
So tell us a little bit more about this chat series you've been hosting.
Yes. So I've been hosting virtual chats focused around diversity. So really working with some of our current students to give their perspectives, their experiences, answer any question that prospective students may have from anything about their experience as a student of color coming through Darden. Their experiences, how they chose Darden, what it made it a great fit for them. So we've had one so far. We just started a couple of weeks ago. We have another at noon today. So I'm very excited. We have two great people that will be joining me. So I'm really eager to hear their stories and what they have to share for our prospective students. I think we have about 15 maybe right now that are joining. So I'm really excited. These are small group chats. but it's definitely an opportunity for prospective students to just kind of reach our current students more specifically than just us in admissions.
Yeah, the nature of the chats is one, they're small groups. It's also an opportunity to meet fellow prospective students, other people that are on this journey as well, but to hear directly from you and current students in the program. And I'm so excited that we're doing this. We've got other chats to come. So if folks are listening to this episode and you're like, gosh, I'd really like to join for one of those, fear not. We've got a lot of events planned. I think that's fair to say.
We've got a lot on the calendar. We're not in a shortage of events. We definitely have them going on.
Well, Ashley, folks may be wondering a little bit about your background. Like, what did you do before coming to Darden? So tell us a little bit more about your story. Where would you like to start that story?
Oh, gosh. Let's see. I can go back to Memphis, Tennessee, born and raised. No, I'm just kidding. So immediately before joining Darden, I was still with the University of Virginia. I was working with McIntyre School of Commerce in a couple of different roles there. So I've been with UVA since 2017. So I was the assistant director of enrollment management when I initially started at McIntyre. And then I moved over and transitioned to the graduate admissions team with McIntyre. So then I became the assistant director of graduate admissions and operations prior to starting with Darden last July. So I've been working with undergraduate students, graduate students, working professionals for quite a bit of time now. Not to age myself, I've been in higher education since 2007. So my passion has always just been working with students, trying to give them an opportunity to learn some of the things that I didn't learn going through undergrad, or once I started graduate school, balancing life and being a parent and all of these other different things and working full time. So I think it's just come kind of full circle for me.
Well, one of the things that we oftentimes talk with our students and alumni about on the podcast is what led them to Darden. So what led you to Darden?
Yes. So one thing that led me to Darden was just trying to get back to what I was most passionate about, and that was working with people. I started to transition a little bit into a different role at McIntyre where I was more so fully embedded in admissions and application review, scholarship review, but I wasn't as in front of the students and prospective students as I was when I initially started. Going through COVID in a pandemic where social interaction was not happening, it started to weigh on me a little bit. So I saw the opportunity to join Darden and I immediately jumped on it. We were getting ready to relocate to Northern Virginia anyway, so it seemed like the perfect timing and the perfect opportunity. So I'm just thrilled that it did work out for me.
Well, you jokingly referred to being from Memphis, Tennessee, but hey, look, we got to talk a little bit about where you're from. And I know you've got a lot of family still out that way. So what do you like about Memphis? I mean, it's home. So yeah. What's your favorite thing to do when you're back there? And what's your favorite thing about the city?
Memphis, I still refer to that as home base. So I've moved quite a bit. My mom talks about me all the time, like I move more than anybody. But I don't think that's true, but I have moved quite a bit. But that's always home base. Like my mother is still there. My sister is there. She has twin boys. That has, for the past 11 years, been my favorite part of going home because they take all of my time. My sister hates it. But I absolutely adore it that we've had such a strong bond, just even though I've been outside of Tennessee since they've been born. But that is definitely home-based. The home cooking that my mom does when I get there, like still being, you know, kind of babied a little bit, no matter how old I get, is definitely what I look forward to. So anytime I just need a reset, I just go home-base, you know, and just soak in everything, get spoiled a little bit, and then I come back.
Well, all right. So if your mom's listening to this podcast, which I hope she is, and I know you're going to be going to Memphis at some point in the future, what's your first request? This is the meal that I would love to have.
Okay. So if I'm thinking about just myself, then I want either some type of pasta, which she knows it could be lasagna or spaghetti. She does turkey wings. I want some turkey wings. I want some dressing. I want some greens. I want the full thing. But as we know, it's no longer really about me because I do have a son. So it's first about him. Does he want breakfast casserole? Because that's her favorite. That's his favorite thing that she cooks for him. And she has to know what time he's going to be there because it has to be ready. So after that, then I can get the dinner that I want.
Okay. All right. Well, there's like a whole day and probably multiple days of preparation just based upon the scale of this meal. Now, our listeners don't know this. I know this, but you're also a college athlete. I want to make sure we take some airtime for this. You're a basketball player.
Yes. Once upon a time. The good old days.
Tell us about your hoop career.
Yeah, so I actually started playing when I was in middle school, and it was just a random one day. I came home and I told my parents that I wanted to play basketball. Previously, I wanted to take piano lessons, which they were thrilled about. So I did in elementary school before I decided to be a basketball player, start piano lessons. But I was horrible, and I'm not going to sugarcoated. My sixth grade tryouts were horrible, but because I was tall, the coach gave me a chance. But from that point on, I was completely dedicated and I did a complete 180 from sixth grade to seventh grade. So I played all the way up through college. I played after college until moving to Virginia and I ruptured my Achilles, which was the biggest injury that I've ever suffered throughout all those years. Of playing. So that one kind of set me down a little bit because I got a little nervous what would happen to the other one. So now I'm just a cheerleader of my son who has me traveling all over the place playing basketball, which I absolutely love. But yeah, I do miss it. I miss pre-games. I miss everything about playing. So I absolutely love the game still.
And what was your position?
So through high school, since I was one of the tallest girls, I played 4 and 5. So I stayed at the post. In college, I was no longer one of those tall girls. So I became a 3. And that's really when I developed my outside shot. I think when I was in high school, because I was so tall to them, I'm not actually tall to anymore when you really think about it. But to them, it's like they demanded that I stay at the post. But had they let me go outside, I think I would have been a bigger threat than I actually was. So when I got to college, I became the 3.
Well, this is before the innovation of the stretch 4 and the European influence on the game.
Oh, like. Yeah, because now you got vibes shooting 3s in the NBA and just everywhere. So it's completely different now.
A lady ahead of your time. They were just holding you back.
They were holding me back.
Well, I want to stick with this for just a second and ask you one more basketball related question, because our listeners probably don't know this about me, but also a basketball fan. I am unfortunately, a Charlotte Hornets fan. We've been on a real journey as a franchise. We went away. We came back. We're now owned by Michael Jordan. Who's the greatest 23 of all time, Ashley Robinson? I'm going to ask
really?
You this question.
Okay, so I want to clear this up. I don't want any confusion. So obviously, Brett knows, because I knew this was coming, who I am a huge fan of, and that is LeBron James. I don't really like the GOAT talk simply because there are two different times, but I will give Michael Jordan the GOAT, but LeBron is the king. And that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Well, I don't know if you saw the NBA All-Star pregame, but Charles Barkley started down this with Shaquille O'Neal. Shaquille was talking about who's the greatest of all time. And I think Charles Barkley signed off by saying, I find people who engage in this conversation lazy as journalists, and it's a waste of time. And Shaquille O'Neal was not appreciative of those comments from Charles. So you got to give the TNT crew credit. They keep it spicy.
I like the TNT crew.
I know. They're What a great job, just to sit around and talk about basketball and make fun of each other, I guess, in a very loving way.
Absolutely.
Well, Ashley, you're here, you're working with our professional degree students, part-time MBA. We're working on the inaugural cohort right now, executive MBA, very much in the midst of that cycle. What have you enjoyed about getting to know these students?
Just really hearing about their experiences and their stories. I really enjoy when I'm talking on the phone with prospective students. Really, I'm there to answer their questions, but also use that as an opportunity to learn what their story is, what brought them to start this journey. So I always start the conversation about telling me about that path. Why are they interested? Learning about their upbringings in terms of how they started making these types of decisions that they've made. How did they get on the path that they're on? And how are they using those experiences moving forward to kind of determine what they want to do in the future? So that's always my favorite part, making the connections. That's something that I've always wanted to do, just working in higher education, working with students and prospective students, giving it that personal touch, because I don't want anyone that I speak to feel like they are just another person trying to come through the program. I want them to know that we are genuinely here to help them make the right decision and determine if Darden is the best fit for them.
I think that's something that we all enjoy on our team. We like being accessible. We like candidates knowing that they can reach out and get an answer to their question, and we're here to help. And I think for many of us, we got involved in this work because of the people. Does that resonate with you?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I don't mind being behind the scenes, but I don't want to always be behind the scenes. So it's definitely being out with everyone, getting to a chance to know them, their experiences and their stories. So definitely not just made for being in front of the computer all day.
Yeah, it's been, I would say, an unusual two-ish years in addition with COVID and shifting to mostly virtual events. And we're starting to do some in-person events again. We've got tours coming up. I was looking ahead on our schedule. We got our first tour of the year, February 28th, coming up on next Monday. Fully subscribed, which is great to see. So apparently some interest in coming by and seeing our space, Sands Family Grounds.
Hopefully the weather is good. That's the best time to view Sands Family Grounds, when you're looking at that top through the windows of the top floor. And you can just see that beautiful view. But if it's cloudy and gloomy, you don't get the full impact of what having that view when you're sitting in class can actually do for you.
So very true. You can see all of the DC area in our space, and from our space, I should say. And you can effectively take a tour of all the main sites and attractions just by walking around. And so we'll do that. Come by. We'll point out all the spots you can see, provided it is, as Ashley notes, an uncloudy day. But we've had a pretty good run of luck in the fall when we were doing these tours. So hopefully that continues. Well, Ashley, you've been on webinars, you've been on workshops, you've been doing conversations, chats. So I'm curious, what's a piece of advice or a tip you would share with folks as they learn more about our programs, orient towards the application process? What's your number one piece of advice to share with prospective students?
I think as you're going through the research process, one, make sure that you are doing your research. Writing down who you spoke with, what information you learned, your top questions. What's the most important thing to you? I do also hear a lot of times, people are waiting on that perfect time to pursue an MBA. It's something they've been thinking about for years, but it always seems like something is getting in the way. And I've always said, just bet on yourself. It's never going to seem like the perfect time, because there will always be something that comes up. But you have a support team. You are not going through this journey by yourself. So just know that it can be done. You don't have to wait until you get a certain position in your career. You don't have to wait until your children get grown. You don't have to wait until your spouse does this A, B, C, or D. Like, bet on yourself. If this is something that you have set in your goals and put on your vision board, if that's something that you participate in, don't wait until you feel like there's a perfect time. That time could be now.
It's a great point, because I think there are no perfect times, particularly when you talk about doing a working professional program, where you're obviously going to be juggling a lot. And we know from our students and podcast listeners know this from past conversations, life is not going to remain static. Work won't remain static while you go through this program. Things will continue to develop, but you'll find a way through.
Yeah, I heard somebody say earlier this morning or last night, I was looking at something on social media and somebody said, life is lifing, and that will always be the case. So we just have to learn to push through, take everything in strides and get to the other side, get to where we want to be.
And you make such a good point that you're not on your own when you do any of these programs. And even as you navigate the process of applying, obviously for our applicants, you know, we're here to help. We do a lot of events to help people navigate the application process. We've got a podcast series all focused on each element of the application. We've got webinars. We do application FAQs webinars. We do hotline webinars. Reach out to us via email. You can schedule a one-on-one call. You can come to a chat like the one you're about to host and get your questions answered. Of course, once you matriculate, you got all your classmates, everybody's assigned a learning team, which is a small person team that you'll work with to manage the academic workload of the program, but also it's a nice social touch point for students as they get started in the program. There's also the program team, this incredible group of people who our incoming students are starting to get to know across both the executive MBA and part-time MBA program as we begin to have some of our town halls focused on the start of school. So you're not alone at any point during this process.
No point. And there will, I can almost guarantee that the things that you are hesitant about, there will be multiple people in the class that had the same hesitations. There will be people in the class that are juggling multiple things and trying to balance it all. So you will not be by yourself. So just know that there's a support team. Resources are always available. And it'll actually go by fast. It's not something that's going to go on forever. You'll look up and it's almost time to graduate. And you've gotten through every obstacle that you thought that you couldn't get through with a great support system behind you.
Well, Ashley, you've lived in Memphis, lived in Chicago, you lived in Charlottesville, now in the DC Metro. How are you feeling about the DC Metro?
I really love this area. I'm closer to my brother. I have an older brother who actually stays in DC. So I'm closer to him. He gets to come pop in whenever he wants. He gets to see his nephew play basketball, which he didn't get to see a lot. We were in Illinois and in Charlottesville. He'd come down for a few things, but now we're so much closer. So I love the area. There's so much to do. I haven't fully stepped out yet because I'm still trying to be cautious. I've made it almost 2 years and I'm trying to make sure that I remain healthy during this time, but I'm venturing out a little bit to get to really know the area, and I'm a foodie. So of course I'm trying new things.
There are no shortage of restaurants for you here in the DC Metro. It's one of the highlights for our students, particularly our executive MBA students who, you know, around each other on this kind of once a month weekend residency schedule. I feel like they're always scheduling some dinner somewhere. We're going to do something out in the city. That's an active group of people. It's fun to see them explore. And honestly, I think that's how I get some of my restaurant recommendations. So,
yeah, I mean, what's the thing that brings people together the most? It's food.
Well, Ashley Robinson, it's been such a pleasure catching up with you. I wonder, what are you looking forward to in the weeks ahead? What are you excited about?
I am excited about just whatever this journey is going to take me. I'm excited about part-time starting in August, along with our executive students. I'm excited to continue to grow in my position. I'm excited for the world to open up a little bit more safely, so I can explore and get back to traveling again, because I do love to travel. So I look forward to the best coming of 2022.
Well, that is, you know what, I think we all share those aspirations. If the best is yet to come, that sounds really, really nice. And I'll also say, I think we're all excited to see the part-time cohort start in August. That will be a historic day for the Darden School of Business. And one of the things that's really cool about admissions is you start at the beginning of the cycle, right? There's no students in the class. And you go through each round. And I'm thinking about our executive MBA students in particular, but it's part-time too. You go through each round and that class starts to take shape, and the people in the room and the dynamic of the class and the personality of the class starts to come together. And every year, that process is similar and it's also different. And every class is similar and it's different. And so we're getting to know the executive MBA class of 2024. We're getting to know the part-time MBA 2022 cohort. And, you know, we just had a couple of colleagues from the McIntyre School of Commerce on here to talk about the MSBA. And, you know, that cohort of students is also coming together. What an exciting time to be a student in Roslyn. Come August 2022, we'll have 400 students or so learning out of Sands Family Grounds, which, you know, we started down this path in August of 2016, and we went from one section of executive MBA students to now we have an MSBA cohort, part-time MBA cohort that's coming online, and two executive MBA classes. So
I think we need to build another floor. What do you think?
you think we need a bigger boat? Is that what you're suggesting?
We need to take over the rooftop.
Hey, that does sound nice. Maybe in the spring, we'll find a way up there. It is beautiful and in an ideal location for the 4th of July fireworks,
right.
If I do say so.
Absolutely.
Well, Ashley, such a pleasure as always catching up with you. Now, I'm going to put you on the spot. One last question. I already put you on the spot. Lakers, are they going to make the playoffs?
Oh, Brett. okay. Let's just start over next year. We're not going to worry about it. I'm going to go for the home base team and hope they get as far as they possibly can. Lakers can just sit this one out. It's okay.
It is Ja Morant's world these days. So Memphis Grizzlies are bust, I suppose, for Ashley Robinson. So, all right. Well, great seeing you. Enjoy your Friday. Good luck with your imminent chat. And thanks for coming on the podcast.
Thank you so much. I enjoyed it. Thanks for having me.
And that was my interview with Ashley Robinson, Assistant Director of Admissions for the Professional Degree Programs here at the Darden School of Business. As always, if you have any comments, suggestions, requests, anything you'd like for us to cover here on the podcast, we're all ears. We can be reached at exec, that's E-X-E-C, MBA at darden.virginia.edu. Until next time, stay safe, be well, and thanks for listening.